Lord, we are grateful for your presence, that we can come into at any time, anywhere, but that we can come here together and just enter in as a group. And so now we ask you, Lord, that as we've come into your presence, that we would receive the fullness that you have planned for us this morning, that the words that you speak that give life would be received and digested, and Lord, that we would race to the bottom of the bag to get every bit out of it that we possibly can. We thank you, Lord, for your direction and your correction. We thank you that we have been made in your image and that we have been made to be like you. And so we ask you to guide us in this truth now in Jesus' name. Amen. You shall be like God, one translation says. The easy-to-read version says, with these gifts you can share in being like God. And I don't know about you, but when I first came to know God, I was very resistant to the idea of being like God because Satan said, I will be as God, but there's a difference in being like God and being as God. Satan wanted to exalt himself above God. We should want to, as Susan said, we should want to get to the bottom of the bag and be just, you know, a big enough bag we can become like chocolate, you know, a big enough taste we can taste like it. My wife always talks about, like, when she makes French onion soup, I become an onion. She'll always, you know, she'll tell me gently that I need a shower, sometimes not so gently. It's just coming out of your pores. I want Jesus to just come out of my pores. You know? Just at the end of worship, I just had a heavenly scent. I smelled, and then I smelled again to make sure that it wasn't something I'd put on, but it wasn't what I put on. And the essence of God. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has in store. But I believe that we can keep getting more and more. And the more we get, the more we'll be like. And if we don't have it, if we don't grasp the idea of being like God, then we're not going to be like God. And so then we're not. As Wayne said, you know, he said, I need to let God get bigger. You see, that's the very thing of being like God. You know, Jesus was like God. Jesus was God. And when there was someone sick, he healed them. If they had the faith to be healed, he healed them. If he delivered them, if they were possessed, oppressed, obsessed, whatever, he delivered them. He just did that, you know. And the thing of being like God, you see, understanding that God wants to reach out to every person to heal them. God wants to reach out to every person to provide for them, to protect them. I mean, that's just how God is. And so God put himself in us so that we would do what he wants to do. Now, it took a long time for me to come to know him. And once I came to know him and to know what he had wanted all the time for me, to look back and say, what did I miss? But you know what? You don't want to spend much time thinking about what you missed. You want to spend time thinking about what you're going to hit. What will you gain by being like God? And the truth of the matter is, folks, as a Christian full of the Spirit of God, you are going to be like God to some people. You're going to be their lifeline. You're going to be the living word to them. You're going to be, and don't worry about whether they receive it or not. Just get it planted. And know that it hits, and know that it accomplishes what God put it there for. And don't be too concerned about what God is doing. You be doing. We be doing. I read the 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 13 today. And, you know, I'm just going to read it to you because I saw things in it that I'd never seen before. You know, we know what 1 Corinthians 13 is. It's the love chapter. 2 Corinthians says, and remember, for every complaint, there must be two or three people to say that they know it's true. And when I was with you the second time, I gave a warning to those that had sinned. And I'm not there now, but I'm giving another warning to them, to anyone else who has sinned. You know what? It's kind of a love chapter. You know, Wayne said he spent time over the Lord's lap instead of on his lap. You know, that's loving. When I come to you again, I'll punish you. You want proof that Christ is speaking through me? My proof is that he is not weak in dealing with you, but he's showing his power among you. I want the power of God. I've experienced the power of God. To be transformed and forgiven and to give your heart to God, that's a powerful thing. To let that power have its way. My proof that he is not weak in dealing with you, but in showing the power among you. It's true that Christ was weak when he was killed on the cross. That's the only weakness God ever showed. But he became weak so that we could become strong. That's what the Bible says. He became poor that we could become rich. Oh, stay away from that idea. Ah, come on. Why wouldn't we want to be rich? What can you do if you're rich? Who can you help if you're rich? Lots of people. Who can you help if you're poor? You can show them that you can be happy and poor. Well, that could be. But you know what? That isn't what God has in mind. And it's not so that we just focus on being rich, but it's, man, if I were a rich man, all day. Okay, we'll get over Fiddler on the Roof for a moment, okay? But he lives now by God's power. We became weak so that we could live by God's power. We had to be weakened by the truth of the gospel because it breaks down our defenses. It's when, as Wayne said, the Lord gets us over his lap and we realize, you know, I mean, isn't that awful that God would say, Wayne, you need to let me be big as I am. You know, that's not a bad time on the lap. That's sort of like putting a baby across your lap, rubbing on the back and saying, I'll take care of it. I'll handle this. And when we know he's handling it, then we can go without restraint. It's not you working in people's lives. It's God working through you in people's lives. Amazing what God can do. You know, Bob asked me today about my son, Rogers. I haven't heard from him for a while, so I'm hoping that he's just out so far in the bush with his Land Rover that he doesn't have any internet access. But his wife changed life over there when she laid hands on him and told him to get up. Because a whole bunch of people were exposed to the power of God. The world needs to be exposed to the power of God. And you've got to have confidence in God and believe that you will be as God, that you will be like God in order to release that power. You need to know that when you pray, something happens. Not, well, we can pray and see if something happens. Expect something to happen because God expects something to happen. I don't know if this was where I was going today, but I like it. So, he's living through God's power. It's also true that we share his weakness, but in dealing with you, we will be alive in him by God's power. That power of God. That power of God unto salvation, you know? I mean, there's way too many people settling for a weak salvation. A weak salvation may not even be a salvation. I don't know, but God will decide that. Because I don't know where we would get a weak salvation, because God's a powerful God. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds. As I said, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Johnny Unitas. I wanted to be every professional football player I saw. I wanted to be a professional football player. And so I tried to act like a professional football player. When I played in the park, I tried to run like a professional football player. When I got older, I tried to lift weights and do everything like a professional football player. I wanted to be like a professional football player. I also wanted to be like Elvis. You know, can you imagine an 8-year-old saying, yeah, people say I sound like Elvis. What kind of voice do you have at 8 years old to sound like Elvis? But I wanted to be like Elvis. The first record I ever owned, now this makes no difference about anything really, but it was, I walked into a house and they played Wanda Jackson's Let's Have a Party. I think that became prophetic in my life for a little while. But now I want to have a party with Jesus, you know. Yeah, I mean, real seriously, I had one record. I listened to it over and over and over again. And after a long time, the seeds became real and suddenly. And I never wanted to be Wanda Jackson, by the way. Yeah, thank you, God. Okay, so anyway. Fortunately, I never wanted to be Bruce Jenner either. So we're alive in Him by God's power. So look closely at yourself. Test yourself. See if you're living in faith. Don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? That's loving, ain't it? Don't you realize Christ is in you? You're not saved from afar. You're saved from inside. Don't you realize Christ is in you? That's love, man. Of course, if you fail the test, He's not in you. Oops. Don't read that part. Yeah, read that part. Read that part. Because you see, the more that He has possession in us, then the more that as Paul said, God forbid if I don't preach, I got to preach. I can't see somebody sick without praying for them. I can't see somebody sad without trying to make them glad. I can't see somebody hopeless without trying to give them hope, because we have the blessed hope. You see? Jesus, it said He was filled with compassion. Compassion is not something that's for us. It's for others. And so what the enemy wants us to do is worry about us. Because if he can get us to worry about us, then we can't release what God has in us. We can't release Christ. If we don't release Christ, then we don't get the fulling and the filling and the joy that comes from that. And we don't get the buildup that comes from that. And instead, pretty soon, we become condemned, because the Word of God never condemns us, but the enemy does. And the enemy says, you aren't doing anything, why should you have anything? And our response to that should be, thank you, I'm going to do something because I'm going to have it all. The body that was broken for us is broken to build us up. And that's what we're supposed to remember when we take it. We're not supposed to take and say, oh, poor Jesus. You know? Because He became weak so we could be strong. How does it fulfill what God did if we allow it to weaken us? It's meant to strengthen us. Make sense? We're not supposed to spend our time thinking about how hard it was for Him. We're supposed to spend our time thinking about what He accomplished by it. He lives by the power of God, and He wants us to live by the power of God as well. And so He said, take this and eat it and do it in remembrance. What this happened, take the cup. It's a new and better covenant. It's not retroactive to take us, keep taking us back and starting us over, but it's intended to fuel us up and launch us on. Each time, a little more full. So look close. If you fail the test, He's not in you. But I hope you will see that we have not failed the test. We pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Our concern here is not for people to see what have passed the test in our work with you. Our main concern is that you do what's right. And the only way to do what's right is to do it in the righteous one, because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the very best thing that we can do is to be like God. You understand the difference. We're not trying to take His place. But we are trying to be Him here, because that's what He wanted. That's why Jesus said, it's beneficial for you if I go away, because if I go away, greater than things than these will you do because I go away. Because if each one of us go do what he did, we're doing it in a different place. And when we release that power of God and other people experience that power of God, then they too will go and do the same thing because they've got something they can pass on. I have no doubt that when Susan is racing to the bottom of chocolate, that if somebody's around, she'll share it. Okay, maybe not. Don't touch my chocolate. No, I'm sure that's not the case. But, if she's racing to the bottom of the bag, of course, she can't share it too much because there's too many people at the house. You know, if she puts the bag out, it's gone. You got to hide a few. Exactly. Exactly. That's just right. Vicky, when we were in Tennessee, Jordan's mother-in-law, she had candy that she hid. You know, she made Vicky feel very special. After Vicky worked for 3 or 4 days, she brought out a piece of her chocolate that she, for just for her, that she hid. I don't know.
No, I asked if I could get into her stash. I was crazy.
Oh, you knew the stash was there. Like, were you snooping in their cabins? You know, we should snoop a little into the things of God. That's true. Okay, well, I had that story all wrong. Here, I thought she shared it with you, and you were smart enough to ask for it. We should be this way with God. We should be asking for it. We should have it all. We should settle for nothing less than all of it. We should want all. I want to be like God. I want to be more like Jesus. We've sung that chorus for years. I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. But so much of the time, religion makes being like Jesus hanging on a cross. You can't do much like this. He's not on a cross anymore. He's gone. Up from the grave, he arose. So, and this is what we pray, that your lives would be made completely right again. You know, it's good to know that no matter what, we can be made completely right again. That no matter how wrong things might have gone, we can be completely right again. Oh, and that's just pretty hard to swallow sometimes. Because we just can't imagine how it can be completely right again. But we've been made complete in Christ, and so the completely right is not to make the old right, it's to make the new right. It's a new thing. Behold, all things become new. Today, last week, Mary said that she just felt like God started something special. Something new. Something better. Anytime God starts something better, so what if there's resistance to it? It doesn't make any difference. If God says it, that's the way it's going to be. Everything didn't go smooth for 500 years after Isaiah had the prophecy that a king would be born. Everything didn't go smooth after he was born. Everything hasn't gone smooth since he died and was raised from the dead. Everything might not be smooth tomorrow, but we got the power to run right over it. And we just need to go ahead and do it. We need to have in our hearts that determination. I'm going to be like God. Sickness, look out. I'm coming. Despair, look out. I'm coming. Show me somebody hopeless, Lord. I'm going to give them hope. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. He is in the world, that other one is. He is in the world. But greater is he that is in us. You know? There's not one of these children that I wouldn't fight because I could beat them. Even if you looked at me with those sweet eyes, Julie, I could beat you. Because greater is he that is in me than he's in. The enemy is powerless when we're powerful. And we live by the power of God. So, I just want you to be completely right again. Say, I want to be completely right.
I want to be completely right.
Really?
Amen.
That's all the more completely right you want to be? My goodness. Yes, I'm sorry, honey. Forgive me. Yes. I know that inside you rifted the roof off, but you were careful. You didn't want to peel the paint off the walls. But we do. You know, that's the thing. We do. We do. We do. We do. I want to encourage you. You know, I do. I just want to encourage you to do this. I want you to find a place where you're comfortable yelling that. I mean, I used to go out to the trap shoot. Because I didn't think anybody would hear me out there. No doubt there were people that could. But I used to go out there, and man, I would just let loose the praise and the shouting, and everything I could, because I thought I was at least far enough away. It's not the trap shoot anymore. It's just a field now. Trap shoot's that way now. But you know, just because it was a place where I knew that I could go and was away from everything, and man, I just let it rip. Not because I didn't think he could hear me. I just needed to get it out at such a volume that I heard me. And that I took it to heart. Because see, I do. I want all the things of God. I want to be like God. I don't want anybody to think I'm God. I just want to be like God. I want the sick to be healed. I want the dead to be raised. I want the hopeless to be hopeful. I want all of that. I read something the other day. Somebody was talking, and this person is just all in with God now, but as a college student, his parents, I think his dad was a pastor or something, his family, they were in the ministry, but he was just sort of casually in it, and he went on a mission trip, and he didn't really go on the mission trip for missions. It was one of those other things, but the thing that drove him crazy is that there were all of these people, they were dirt poor, and they were way happier than he was, and he said, I was jealous. He said, I was jealous of them because they were just happy in Jesus. And so he decided maybe he could come back here and be happy in Jesus. You see, that's how God wants us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy will make you completely right. You know, you need to go ahead and be joyful. You know, we need to choose joy. We have opportunities all the time. We got opportunities to choose joy and opportunities to choose what's coming at us. We need to just choose joy. It's not choosing results, it's just choosing joy. Results will follow. We can't be joyful based upon the results, we've got to be joyful based upon the promise. Yeah. And if God wants us to be right, He wants us to be all right. God wants me to be all right. So when everything's not all right, it don't matter. God wants me to be all right. And if God wants me to be all right, who's the great one? Who is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can ever hope or imagine? We hear those verses. We hear them. We got them in our head. We hear them. We've said them. We got them. I know that. I know that. I know that. And I know that sometimes is what we do because I sit in meetings and I listen and I go, I know that. But then I say, do I know that? Why did I hear it again if I already know it? Why did it come in here? Why didn't it hit here? Because when it comes from here, it's like, whoa, I know that. You know? Whoa, that's in me. That's part of me. It's just a reminder of what's there. It's stirring me up. It's not news. It's restoration of that which is in me. So I'm writing this before I come so that when I'm there, I'll not have to use my authority to punish you. The Lord gave me that authority to make you stronger and not destroy you. God gives us, fills us with His power to make us stronger. The Word of God is to make us stronger, not to destroy us, not to demean us, not to condemn us. It's meant to come in and pick us up. It's meant to be a promise, not a persecution. It's meant to give life. He said, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, then you'll know the truth will make you free. And so the truth is supposed to make us free. And free is good. Right? Free is good. Free is not condemnation. Free isn't chains. Free is free. So the truth makes us free. So if we hear it and we feel like we're over his lap, the next thing that happens is we roll up and we get on his lap. Woo! I get that. You know? I get that. And to get at it, you know, we've been trying to give Daisy some special treats because she hasn't been as healthy, or else she's acting unhealthy to get the special treats, whatever the case might be. But, you know, the puppy, Mia, every treat belongs to her. It's like Susan with a bag of candy. Everybody, she will leave one treat if she thinks somebody else is getting a treat to run over and check out that treat. And so I gave Daisy a treat and I picked up Mia because there's no way to keep her away from the treat. You know, you can only block so well. That little dog's quick, you know. So I picked her up. I mean to tell you, she did everything but do flips out of my... She didn't care if she was 5 feet off the ground. Did not matter. She was trying to get away because that... It doesn't matter if you give it to somebody else. She's going to have it. I thought, man, that's how we need to be. That's a race to the bottom of the bag. That's a tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. That's an assurance. That's for me. See, that when we look at the Word of God and we go, whoa, that's for me. Instead of looking at something that Jesus said, like, listen, you're going to do greater things than I do because I go to the Father, instead of looking at it like, well, now that just can't be. Surely Jesus didn't mean that when he said that. We've got to analyze this. We've got to dissect this. We've got to make this more palatable, you know? But those who have the truth in them should look at that and say, glory to God, how did I miss that? And instead of trying to figure out why it won't work, start figuring, okay, now Jesus did this in this situation. I can do it better. How can I do it better? Just pray. That woman dove through a crowd and grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment, you know. Walk around expecting to feel virtue go out of you. Got to have a little in you to get it out. But hey, it's Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. Okay, so he ends by saying, I pray you will enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So in all of his instruction and in all of his challenge, he was giving them this. He could have maybe said, okay, now that you've got all of that, let me just suggest that you enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just enjoy the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that other than those times when you're just basking in his presence, the next most enjoyable times are the times when you are releasing his presence. When you are seeing the manifestation in people's hearts and in people's lives. When you're hearing of the impact, you know. I have to assume, and I hope so, and if not, then it should be so, LaVon, that when you get responses from people about your writings, that you got a yippee going on in you. A yippee. Like, woohoo! You like it. You like it. You like it a lot. And I hope that you're even saying more, Lord, more. Because it builds you up. But you see, the reason that you're getting the buildup is because you're releasing it. And it's good to know that when you release something that it's landing somewhere and that it's coming back. But you know what? It's just as joyous to just release it if you never hear anything back. It trips my trigger. Every time I hit that button to send out the devotions, I go, man, those things are getting around the world in a second. crazy. And you know that the Word of God is reaching somebody, whether anybody ever says anything about it or not. So when we have that confidence, then to just release it, to say a prayer, a silent prayer, to say a open prayer, to say a blessing, to think a blessing, to just know that, man, listen, when I think bless somebody, the power of God goes right out and blesses them. They might not even know they got it, but it's riding around with them. You know? It's the thing that'll keep them out of an accident today. It's the thing that'll keep them from sickness catching up with them today. I probably saved that person's life today. I'm telling you, that may seem a little facetious, but here's the deal. That's a lot better than thinking, I got nothing. I can't do anything. Well, how can you not do anything if God is in you? See? So as long as we got him in us, let's just be like him. What do you say? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just going to go ahead and enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We are going to apologize because there's not one person here, probably not one person in the world, that has not limited you and not allowed you to be all that you desire to be in us and through us. And so we take that instruction. Wayne took the correction. We take the instruction. There's not one of us sitting here that are not guilty of failing to taste and see how good you are in every circumstance. That a taste of you will make it all better. That a taste of you will fix things. That a taste of you makes everything right again. And so when we're not feeling like it's right, Lord, we're going to just taste you. And then we're going to rush to the bottom of the bag to get all of you that we can. And we're going to take that and it's going to go out and it's going to become just a flow in our lives. Flowing through. You flowing in, you flowing out. And we thank you, Lord. This is the confidence we have that when we pray, when we declare, you hear us. And then we have those things that we ask of you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, one more time. I want to be right again.
I want to be right again.
I want to be right again. God makes me right. Oh, that's a good bunch. Praise the Lord.